I'd like to share a verse of song with you. Sometimes when I'm on my way home from work, I listen to a CD of Monarch singing, and it's kind of like I'm transported back to Monarch. And as I'm in rush hour, all these cars around me, sometimes I'm singing along with this song. Do you know, O ransom brother, that we stand upon the verge, where old time fills up his ages and the lost will mourn his dirge? Oh, what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. Help, O God, thy remnant gleaning until time indeed expires. The part of that verse that really grips me is, oh, what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. I want you to picture a world tonight with billions of people in it. A world of people that are hurtling in time toward eternity, with the vast majority of those people being asleep. I want you to picture a day in the history of the world, the last day. A day in which things seem pretty normal. I'd like to read about that day in Matthew chapter 24. Amen. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to picture a day that cars are rushing up and down the highways, that people are doing the things they normally do, going to the stores and shopping. A day in which the New York Stock Exchange is a flurry of activity. People are buying and selling. People are hoping for profit. They're hoping to become rich. Construction sites with the sounds of construction, the air guns, putting up rafters, cranes lifting I-beams, the sound of jackhammers. Everything seems normal. I want you to picture a day like that. The movie theaters doing a booming business, the amusement parks full of people, the last day of this earth. People out on the golf course, relaxing, having a good time. The last great day. I want you to picture the communication satellites buzzing with information as people search the internet for all kinds of things. Downloading images and movies and doing business, bank transactions. A day like any other day. And then the greatest event in the history of mankind takes place. A trumpet sounds that is heard around the world. It stops all that. Suddenly a brightness in the clouds that gets the attention of every eye. No longer is the movie screen in the theater so captivating, because they're coming in the clouds is our Lord Jesus Himself. Can you picture that day? It grips my soul to think what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 describes this moment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, no time to pray, No time to stop the bank robbery that's in progress. In a twinkling of the eye, we shall all be changed. But yet, people sleep on. I'd like to move to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and 35, the words of Jesus. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. I notice it doesn't say, blessed are those servants whom when the Lord cometh, he shall find sleeping. But that is the condition of so many souls. Blessed are they, those servants that when the Lord comes, when that day like any other occurs, and the trumpet sounds, and we see him coming in the clouds, blessed are they that he shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. If he had only known, he wouldn't have been asleep. And if people would only know the hour that the Lord would come, perhaps they would not be asleep. But people don't know. So Jesus said in verse 40, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. In 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What a day that will be. What a day of awakening of those who are asleep. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It ought to alarm us a little tonight. We ought to stir ourselves and say, Lord, help me. I don't know what hour you're going to come. I don't know when the last hour of the earth's history will be. And Lord, I don't know when my last hour will be. I just read a little news that 3 of, I believe, 10 that died in the most recent tornado were tornado chasers, storm chasers. They didn't know that was their hour, and neither do we know our hour. I am concerned that souls are asleep, and it moves me. We go out in this world and we see the wickedness, and I travel to different countries and I see these folks have the same problem. They're asleep in their souls. There are countries that have religions that you would think would be more moral than other countries, but they have some of the exact same problems. Some of the same immorality, some of the same corruption. Picture tonight a world of people that are asleep and that are rushing to the judgment. We have loved ones that are asleep. Lord, have mercy on our loved ones and wake them up. In Honduras, they love to sing this song at the wakes. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. There are so many wandering out in sin. Just a little longer, please, Jesus. a few more days to get our loved ones in. Lord, wake up people that are asleep, the ones that we love, the ones that sat under the preaching of the gospel, that felt the conviction, that maybe made their way to an altar of prayer and had an experience with the Lord and fell away and became asleep again in their souls. Lord, have mercy and wake these folks up. There are unbelievers that are asleep. And unfortunately, that number seems to be growing. I don't remember the statistic for atheists in the United States, but it's shocking how high it is these days. Unbelievers, and they are asleep in their souls. The Scripture says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. A world asleep, and their souls are at risk. Judgment Day is coming. We're going to have to face God. There's a time that folks are going to wake up. And the Scripture says, we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. There are professing Christians, so-called, who truly are asleep. Yes, they trusted in Jesus. Perhaps they prayed a little prayer. They accepted the Lord superficially, but they are asleep. I want to talk to you tonight about some of the causes of sleepiness. One of them is repetition, monotony. Years ago, I had a salesman that would come and call on me. This salesman was selling ball bearings, and this man could talk about ball bearings nonstop for maybe 20 or 30 minutes. I'm not that interested in ball bearings. And to make it worse, he would talk in a monotone. And I started dreading his appointments with me. Monotony can put you to sleep. But there was something about that man's sales pitch that was effective with me, because I started specifying his ball bearings. He convinced me. Monotony can work on you. It can have some results. I remember being a little boy, and we had a 1972 Chevrolet Caprice. That was in the days that cars were big. And at night, sometimes I would crawl up in the back dash under that curved glass, and I would go to sleep. Sound asleep. Something about the sound of tires humming on the road or something. That monotony can put you to sleep. I used to have an alarm clock, a mechanical wind-up alarm clock. The tick, tock, tick, tock. That monotony can put you to sleep. The clickety-clack of the train's wheels on the track. Over and over and over. The monotony of things can put you to sleep. And I'm thinking about the monotony of life. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed, get up in the morning, go to work. Same thing day in and day out. Work, weekend, summer, winter, fall, spring. Same thing over and over again. And over time, people fall asleep. The monotony of life. I'd like to go back to 2 Peter and chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, notice this, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The monotony of life. Sunrise, sunset. The seasons, the years come and go by. It all looks the same to me. Where is the promise of His coming? The monotony of life puts people to sleep. There is a scripture that says something like, because the judgment is not speedily executed, therefore are the hearts of the Son of Man fully set in them to do evil. Because of the monotony of life. Because I got away with it. Because the court issued a judgment supporting the cause of homosexuality, and God didn't send down judgment from heaven. He didn't send down fire and brimstone and destroy the court and the city. Because we got away with it, appears the monotony of life puts people to sleep. Another cause of sleep is a sense of security. There is a song that was popular when I was an unsaved young man. Satanically inspired. Here are the words. Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Satan is bold in his message. Carry on, my wayward son. There will be peace when you're done. You know, music can lull people to sleep. Just be relaxed. Don't worry about it. You're feeling guilty. You've made shipwreck. You've got heartache in your life. You've got trouble. Just lay your head down to rest. Satan is putting people to sleep with a sense of security. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the greatest, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. People are lulled to sleep by a sense of security. And the scripture here is talking about false prophets that have put people to spiritual sleep by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. What? You're committing sin? You're finding yourself addicted to sin? Well, don't worry about it. The pastor is the biggest sinner of us all. You know, that's the kind of message of the false churches today. Peace, peace. Don't worry about it. We're all sinners, is the message that they're putting out when there is no peace. And eternal souls are being lulled to sleep by a sense of security. Spiritual lethargy is one of the predecessors to falling asleep spiritually. Lethargy is a lack of energy and enthusiasm. A lack of energy and enthusiasm. How's your spiritual life tonight? Has the Lord been talking to you? I want you to do something. Lord, I'm awfully busy. Lord, I am not quite through with college. After I get my degree, then Lord, maybe I'll have some time. How is your energy and excitement for the Lord? Lord, you want me to do something? How quickly can I do it? Can I quit my job? Can I sell my house? Lord, what do you want me to do? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Spiritual lethargy is what comes before you drift off to spiritual sleep. Are you excited tonight about the service of the Lord. Comfortable surroundings can also put you to sleep. I'd like to turn to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, and starting with verse 6. Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Verse 9. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he brake the withs, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When she pressed him daily with her words, did you know this world will press you daily for your source of strength? What is it that makes you different? The world will work on you. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees. Had I been there and Delilah told me, "The Philistines be upon thee," and the Philistines burst out of the closet, I think I'd want to be careful. But instead, she made him sleep. Right in a place of danger. And that's where people are going to sleep today. Dear ones, we are living in a dangerous world. We have leaders that are defying God to his face. We live in a nation that is consumed with sinful appetites. And there is spiritual danger. It is no time to be going to sleep. But one of the things that puts people to sleep is a comfortable environment. Somehow Delilah knew how to make him comfortable. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know the danger of being asleep? You don't know what kind of danger you're in. You can be asleep on the railroad tracks and the train be coming. Seems like I may have read about a drunk man being in that condition not long ago. Asleep. What a dangerous place to be asleep. He knew he shared the very secret of his heart. She had the key. He knew what she did in the past. But he allowed her to put him to sleep. You know that Satan has tricked you before. He has stung you with sin. You know that there's a great trap out there. There's a great danger. But tonight, are you drifting off to sleep when you know the exact same danger is out there? Lord, help us not to go to sleep. One of the causes for people to go to sleep is they get comfortable with their beliefs. I want to tell you about one of the saints' children. One time he came to me, he was angry with his father, and he began telling me his problems. I had some advice for him. I suggested that he get saved. He didn't want to hear that. I asked him, "Have you ever been saved?" "No." "Why don't you at least try it? I'm sure it will help this situation." He turned me down. This same young man used to go to the car races. And he told me, "I used to feel guilty about it." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because these people teach against it." He was referring to the saints. And he described to me the immodesty of the women at the car races. I can understand why the saints teach against it. But he said, "I don't feel guilty anymore. I think there was something deeper than the saints teaching against it that caused that young man to feel guilty. I believe it was the conviction of the Holy Ghost. But when you turn that voice away, you know what happens? You fall asleep." This young man told me these things over 30 years ago. And he went on to lose his marriage, to make shipwreck out of his life. And today, he is still asleep. Oh, what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. Oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in your bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Yet is the voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who pleads, calling the wandering sinner, offering grace for your needs. That young man could have had a happy life. He could have had a wonderful wife and children. He could have been enjoying the blessings of these camp meetings. But he disregarded that voice. Another thing that puts people to sleep is music. I want to share the words of another song from the world with you. Still like that old time rock and roll. That kind of music just soothes the soul. Let me tell you what it does. It soothes the soul until the eternal soul is asleep, spiritually blinded. Listen, I don't want my soul soothed if I have sin in my life. I want to be awake. I want to be sensitive to the call of the Holy Ghost. I don't want the Spirit of the Lord to leave me desolate and reprobate. I don't want the music of this world to soothe my soul. When I was a boy, I used to like to catch flies and throw them in the spider webs. And sometimes the fly wouldn't land on a strand. And so I'd try again. And when that fly would stick to the strand, that spider web would shake, be rocking back and forth, and that fly would be working to get away and setting up vibration in that spider web. And there's something in that little spider brain that says, go. That spider would rush over to that fly and begin wrapping web around and around the fly. The spider then injects the fly with poison that immobilizes the fly. And some spiders even have an enzyme that liquefies the spider inside. The sting of the spider. Let me put you to sleep, fly. Do you know that's what the devil is doing with souls? It looks so good. It's so tempting. The world is doing it. They seem to be getting away with it. And they get stuck in the web. And that's a signal to Satan. You got somebody. Go get them. Wrap them up. And people get so wrapped up in their sinful habits and addictions, they just can't get loose. And they're struggling and struggling and they can't get loose. But there's more coming. It's a poison to put you to sleep. It's a serious thing to be asleep spiritually. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 18, The king had done wrong. He'd had Daniel thrown in the lion's den, and he was very upset about it. And in chapter 6, in verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Now, normally, it seems the instruments of music would be brought before the king. It seems that was the habit. But this night, he didn't want them. I don't want that music that soothes my soul. I did something wrong. I made a serious mistake. And I'm sick about it. What happens when you do serious wrong? When you have made shipwreck of your life, are you looking for something to soothe your soul? And to deal with the guilt, maybe another drink, another shot of drugs, a little music, a little entertainment. God, help us not to soothe over those things, but instead say, put those things from me. I'm in trouble and I need help. Did you know that when you are asleep, the world does not stop? The world keeps spinning. Things keep happening. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But notice this. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. While men slept. While men are asleep, Satan is sowing seeds of destruction. Seeds that will destroy your life. Seeds that will destroy your marriage. Seeds that will cause you great heartache while you're asleep. Instead, he wants you to think, oh, you're having a good time. You really enjoy this. Now you're really doing what you've always wanted to do. You're doing it now. Enjoy it. But while you sleep, Satan is busy sowing seeds in your field, and you're not going to want to reap the crop that comes from that. What happens while people are asleep? I'll tell you one thing that happens. The clock of life keeps ticking to its conclusion. After my grandfather died, my mom gave me one of his watches. I cherished my grandfather. And it amazed me, although my grandfather was gone, the watch was still clicking. It was a mechanical watch. It was still clicking. And I took it, we had it there in Honduras. One day I looked at the watch and it had stopped. You know, this life is temporary. Your clock is going to run out someday. That hourglass, the last grain of sand, at a moment that you may not realize, is going to drop. Are you asleep? While that clock is running out, Lord help us that we will not be asleep. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now it is time. Just a little more fun. I'm young. A little more pleasure. I have time. No, now is the time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That is precisely what the world is doing, making provision for their flesh to fulfill every lust that they want to fulfill. They're providing for that. They're making sure that they can do that. But now is the time for us to wake up and not be asleep in those things. Ephesians 5 and 14. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Isn't that beautiful? Those that are asleep in the death of sin, in the darkness of sin, in the dungeon of sin, those that are asleep, awake, and Christ will bring light into your life. Are you tired of darkness? Are you tired of guilt and shame? Awake, and Christ will give you light. The song says, while sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so. What does it take to wake people up? Our dear friend and brother, Brother Paul Frazier, was in a coma in Miami. And during that time, many prayers went up for him. And I felt a desperation. Would somebody please just slap his face, do something, wake him up? We didn't want to lose him. I believe people did what they could. But the desperation, Lord, this was my prayer, give him another chance at life. You know, there's a need for souls that are asleep in the coma of sin to wake up, and loved ones are looking on, Lord, have mercy and wake them up before it's too late. Oh, what myriad souls are sleeping, soon to wake in judgment fires. What does it take to wake people up? It may require a great sickness that God in His mercy will send. Sometimes the Lord may take a loved one that serves people and awakens them. What does it take to wake people up? Sadly to say, for some, it's going to be the coming of the Lord that wakes them up. Jude verses 14 and 15. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince them that are ungodly, all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It sounds like he's coming partly to convince people. There are people that are not going to be convinced of their ungodliness until judgment fire comes. God help us to wake up before that time comes. What will it take to wake people up? Mark chapter 14. Mark 14 and 32. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now, I don't know why Jesus chose Peter, James, and John. Could it be that they were his closest earthly friends? That he chose specially to be with him in his darkest hour on earth? It sure is nice to have a real good friend when you're facing something tough, isn't it? So he took Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, he shared with them his heart, I'm in trouble here, I need some support. Forgive me for putting something in my own words. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He said, tarry ye here and watch. He didn't say, tarry ye here and sleep. He said, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh. And what was he looking for? Maybe he was looking for a little comfort. You disciples, my closest friends on earth, just look at me with eyes of love. Let me know you've been praying for me in my time of great trial. I needed your support. I needed your help. The hardest trial of my life. Were you there for me? And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? And I want to ask you tonight, sleepest thou? Can't you watch for the 1 hour of life? Just this short life, can you watch with the Lord? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now. What a sad thing for the Lord to say. They didn't know what to say before. No, Lord, we fell asleep on you. We weren't there for you when you needed us. But to have the Lord come and say, go ahead and sleep. What a sad thing. And what a sad thing it will be for the myriads of souls that are sleeping on judgment day for the Lord to say, go ahead and sleep. You weren't there when I needed you. You were ashamed of me in your generation. Instead of keeping yourself clean from the world, you partook of it. You didn't want to watch with me 1 hour. Go ahead and take your sleep. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. There is a song in our book, number 355. he comes with trumpet sound to wake the slumbering nations round. His pardoning love no more is found. He comes. The dead in Christ shall then arise to meet their Savior in the skies. No more a bleeding sacrifice. He comes. May God help us. If you're asleep tonight, now is the time to wake up. And if you're awake, may God help us all that we will stay awake and be ready for the day He comes. Amen.